Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 1st Chapter, entitled Questions by Vidura, text number 4.
Nayalpatodayastasya
Nayalpatodayastasya
Vidurasyamalakmanaha
Vidurasyamalakmanaha
Tasmin variyasi prasna
Tasmin variyasi prasna
Sadhu vado pabrimhita
Sadhu vado pabrimhita
Na
never.
Never.
He
certainly.
Certainly.
Alpa arta.
Alpa arta.
Small unimportant purpose.
Small unimportant purpose.
Udayaha.
Udayaha.
Raised.
Raised.
Tasya.
Tasya.
His.
His.
Vidurasya.
Vidurasya.
Of Vidura.
Of Vidura.
Amala atmanaha.
Amala atmanaha.
Of the saintly man.
Of the same
man.
Tasmin,
in that.
In that.
Vayasi.
Vayasi.
Highly purposeful.
Highly
purposeful. Prasna.
Prasna.
Question.
Question.
Sadhu vada.
Sadhu vada.
Things approved by saints and sages.
Things approved by saints and sages.
Upabrimhitaha.
Upabrimhitaha.
Full with.
Full with.
Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore the questions to his grace, we see Maitreya, must have been very purposeful, on the highest level, and approved by learned circles. Purport. Questions and answers among different classes of men have different value. Inquiries by mercantile men in a business exchange cannot be expected to be highly purposeful in spiritual values. Questions and answers by different classes of men can be guessed by the caliber of the persons concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, the discussion was between Lord Sri Krishna and Arjuna, the Supreme Person and the Supreme Devotee, respectively. The Lord admitted Arjuna to be his devotee and friend, Bhagavad Gita 4.3, and therefore any sane man can guess that the discussion on the topic of the Bhakti Yoga system, that the discussion was on the topic of the Bhakti Yoga system. Actually, the whole Bhagavad Gita is based on the principle of Bhakti Yoga. There is a difference between karma and karma yoga. Karma is regulated action for the enjoyment of the fruit by the performer. But karma yoga is action performed by the devotee for the satisfaction of the Lord. Karma yoga is based on bhakti, or pleasing the Lord, whereas karma is based on pleasing the senses of the performer himself. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one is advised to approach a bona fide spiritual master when one is actually inclined to question from an elevated level of spiritual understanding. A common man who has no interest in spiritual values has no need to approach a spiritual master just as a matter of following fashion. As a student, Maharaj Pariksit was serious about learning the science of God, and Sukadev Goswami was a bona fide spiritual master in the transcendental science. Both of them knew that the topics discussed by Vidura and Rishi Maitreya were elevated, and thus Maharaj Pariksit was very interested in learning from the bona fide spiritual master. So, translation again. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to his grace, Rishi Maitreya, must have been very purposeful on the highest level and approved by learned circles. So in the Sanskrit we find the reference sadhu vada, the sadhu vada, or the as it's translated here, things approved by saints and sages. So that is very nice. That is the criterion for life in general. It must be sarvada. It must be approved by saints and sages. It's nice that Vidura is referred here to as Saint Vidura, since other traditions are always claiming saint this and saint that. We may as well also claim a saint, Saint Vidura, because many saintly personalities are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidura was a very selfless personality. Vidura, in the palace, when he was still residing with the Kurus, was appreciated by all. He was appreciated by Dhritarashtra, he was appreciated by the Pandavas, he was very much appreciated by all the queens in the palace, because he brought in spiritual knowledge into the community. And when Vidura left to go on his long pilgrimage, which lasted for many, many years or decades, then everyone was in separation from Vidura. And when Vidura at one point returned to the palace, then everyone was experiencing great bliss, because they could see just the presence of Vidura brings us closer to Krishna, because Vidura is always thinking of Krishna, is always preoccupied with Krishna. And this is really all that matters. So many things are being said, so many noises are being made by so many living entities. But the Bhagavatam describes this as the babbles of the sea waves, right? At least that's how it's translated by Srila Prabhupada. The babble of the sea waves. So just useless noises. Like ducks, right? Making so much noise. But what is the true purpose of all of this? So, when Krishna is being discussed, it gets meaningful. Srila Prabhupada is in the purport expanding on the word purposeful, and particularly a purpose on the highest level. And immediately, because of his deep absorption in the Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam, because those were the main, Srila Prabhupada's thoughts would center around these scriptures. Therefore, immediately he went to Bhagavad Gita, because as soon as it spoke about the highest level, immediately he saw that was reminded in Bhagavad Gita there are different levels of endeavors. There is karma, there is karma yoga, there is jnana yoga, there is bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada was thinking of these levels and immediately began to explain the difference between karma and karma yoga. Although the verse doesn't really deal with karma yoga, but it deals with the topmost level and of spiritual endeavor. And Prabhupada started to explain what is the difference, karma yoga and bhakti yoga. First of all, between karma and karma yoga, explaining that karma is activities which are aimed at satisfying the senses, and karma yoga are activities that are aimed at pleasing Krishna. However, in karma yoga, sometimes there may also be a personal motive, that one may be enjoying these activities materially, and then offer those things to Krishna, the things that we like. I like to do the things for Krishna that I like. I don't like to do for Krishna the things that I don't like. That's karma, yoga. We are selective. I like this kind of devotional service, not that kind. I like this prasad, not that prasad. That's all within the realm of karma yoga. That means there is still a fruitive intent, a personal, an intent for personal enjoyment. But that's all right. That's where we start. That's where we connect. Because we cannot just go artificially to the platform where Admendriya Priti Vancha Tarabolikam Krishnendriya Priti Chidara Premanam, where everything is Krishnendriya, everything is simply for the senses of Krishna. I mean, that drives us insane. We can't do that. When I started in devotional service, in my earlier days, I was always involved with prasada. First I was in a restaurant and I would eat at least 50% of all the sweets for the guests. This was a lot. And that attraction to sweets continued. And later I was in Amsterdam in charge of the Mongol Arctic sweets, and I used to hollow them out and cut little pieces of everything so that it wasn't obvious that I was stealing, but I was stealing. I was definitely stealing. Because it wasn't possible for me to, at that time, just happily give the Mongol Arctic sweets to the guests. That was too much. Gosh. I mean, give them away. Now it's possible. Now it's nice. But yes, please. You know, you have this Mongol Arctic sweet and can actually feel good about it. But in those days, I didn't feel good about it. So, what can we say? We can, in spiritual life, we have to accept our emotional state. If we try to ignore our emotional state and just act out a role, that's not etiquette. That's the pure devotee complex. And the pure devotee complex we have seen so many times. People that are acting out as if they are pure devotees, and in this way think that will do it. That will do it. If I just go on acting the role of a pure devotee, then in due course of time I will be a pure devotee. Maybe, maybe not, you know. It's like to be a pure devotee of the Lord is like walking on a tightrope, sometimes in the circus. There is that cord high in the tent, and someone is walking on it, holding a stick very carefully. And it's very tricky. It's very narrow, and it says the person who walks there has to totally fix his eyes on the goal, on the other side. Right? He never looks down. He just looks at the goal and then carefully, in a concentrated way, goes forward. As soon as he gets distracted from the goal, finished. We fall off the cord. That's how it is. So, like, if we compare the advanced stages of devotional service, where we are giving up all sense gratification completely, and we will just dedicate 100% to Krishna in his devotional service, then it's like walking the tightrope. Then one can only be focused on that goal of pleasing Krishna and nothing else. And as soon as the mind wavers for a moment, then, you know, it begins. The risk of fall down becomes great. But that is for one who is not fully realized. Because for one who is in love of God, that court becomes as wide as an avenue, as wide as a highway. For that person, there is no question of any struggle to control the senses, because the senses are automatically engaged in the service of Krishna. So that is what we're ultimately interested in. Not in those who can very expertly control the senses, but those whose senses are attracted to Krishna in love, and who therefore can only think of serving Krishna, and always think of ways to serve Krishna. Not those who think, I'd better do devotional service, because otherwise I get entangled in all kinds of karma, and that I don't want. No. I mean, definitely don't want that. So therefore, okay, I'll do devotional service. No. That's at best karma yoga. Then one still wants happiness in the material world, and one's actual concern is more the material world than the spiritual world. One's concern is, I'm doing this devotional service because I want a happy life in the material world. But the topmost, most elevated level, which Vidura was actually embodying, was the level of finding only pleasure in serving Krishna. And therefore devotional service would come natural to him. That is the way. A devotee is looking for service, is looking for opportunities, is always looking for ways to serve Krishna. Of course, taste is also there. And taste, to serve Krishna according to one's taste, is not always karma yoga. Taste is a natural feature that is experienced in devotional service. We find descriptions about udipan. Udipan are stimuli that awaken love of God in an advanced devotee. So even the advanced devotees, they also have feelings and likes and dislikes, and in fact their feelings are very strong. It is said that on the material plane, the feelings are shallow. They are a shallow. Our love, right, in this world is shallow. I love you so much that I'm never home. I love you so much that I care more about my car than about you. Okay, to give some gross, mundane example. And yet, there are other moments that the one who, the lover of car, actually loves his wife. He feels it. It's not just that he doesn't feel it. He has moments that he feels it, but then as soon as he sees the car, he forgets all about her. He says, oh, car, 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 how I love you, how I love you. Alright, so our love is not focused. Bahu sakehi anantas cha. Our love is all over the place. Our love is everywhere and anywhere. Sometimes here, sometimes there. Therefore, we cannot be faithful for a moment in the material world. Chanchalam himana Krishna. This is a fundamental issue in marriage, because women, they want 100% dedication, and anything less will not do. They're not satisfied with that. If the man is not fully focused on them, they are not satisfied. But it doesn't happen in the material world. Sorry, what to do? That's how it goes. Because Bahusaki and Antascha, that the love is divided over so many different things in the material world. But in Krishna consciousness, Vyavasyatmika buddhir, ekeha kurananana. Ekeha kurananana, there's only one purpose. Only one purpose. But such kind of purpose, only one person, one purpose, can only come from love. It cannot come from knowledge. Knowledge will help, of course. I like to tell the story, and I'll tell it again, about Karna, who was rejected by, come on, what's the teacher of the Pandavas? Drona. Was rejected by Drona as a student. Because he was supposedly not a Kshatriya, his family lineage was unclear, so he wasn't accepted. Then he decided at one point, after thinking about it for a long time, he decided to go to Drona's teacher, who was Parasaram. And Drona's teacher, after all, Parasaram, he was, from him everything could be learned. And so Karna went there. And all throughout his life, he had been told that he was not a Kshatriya. So Parasaram asked him, when he approached him, says, "Yes, what you want? Kindly teach me the art of using weapons." "Are you a Kshatriya?" For the first time in his life, Karna was happy to say, "No, I'm not a Kshatriya." And on that strength, he was accepted by Parasaram, and Karna served his spiritual master so nicely, and he learned everything. And one day, Parasaram is resting with his head on the lap of his disciple nicely, and then this insect comes, some insect with a Black and Decker drill on the nose, and the insect started to kind of drill a hole in Karna's leg. So Karna is experiencing excruciating pain, and at the same time, full of devotion to his spiritual master, he did not want to wake up his guru. So he just samara, bit his teeth and tolerated the pain, although it was practically unbearable, but he didn't even flex a muscle. So Parasaram was peacefully sleeping, but after some time woke up, and then he saw the blood on the leg. He says, "What is this? What is this?" He says, "Oh, this insect came and it just stung me in my leg." Parasaram smelt the Kshatriya. He goes like, how could you tolerate? How could you tolerate? You have cheated me. You are a Kshatriya, and you have stolen this knowledge from me, and I will curse you that at the moment that you will need it the most, that you will forget it all." It's the dramatic part of the play. You know, that's where the audience is sitting on the edge of their chair. Yeah. But now we go to the more dry part of the play, the philosophical explanation of it all, where half of the audience will fall asleep. But still, that part actually is the more sensational part of the play, if you really look at it. Because, interesting, that Parasaram identified that the high level of tolerance that was displayed by Karna could only be displayed by a Kshatriya. That a Kshatriya had a higher level of tolerance even than a Brahmana. That's amazing, because Brahmanas are known to be tolerant. And that's like one of their essential qualities. Yes, well, now let us look at that a little deeper. It is a fact that in the moment, the tolerance of the Kshatriya is greater. Because the Kshatriya has such willpower, he can fix his mind, he just fixes it. He just switches off everything else and just fix it. And it's like, you know, like with incredible determination. And in that way, with that determination of fixing the mind, he did it. And tolerate that Black and Decker drill in his leg. But the Brahmin, his tolerance is of a different nature. The Kshatriya's tolerance may be very powerful in the moment, but in the long run, the Kshatriya's tolerance is weaker. Because the Brahmin's tolerance is based on knowledge. So when your tolerance is based on knowledge, and you know not to do something, and you just know it, that there's no alternative, then what can you do? You just tolerate it, saying like, well, what can I do? Right? I have no alternative. But when you don't have the same depth of knowledge, then you'll have your moments of doubt. So the Kshatriya, although his power is so great, he might have moments where he loses his motivation because of not being so deeply rooted in knowledge. Why am I doing this anyway? Why am I chanting 16 rounds anyway? Yeah? And after years of chanting, we stop and say, why am I doing this? So I don't feel like it anymore. I don't know. I can't get myself to chant. What happened? What happened to your knowledge? Well, it's gone. Don't you know that there is no alternative? Don't you know that the material world is hell? Don't you know that you're caught here? Don't you know that it's all glossed over by illusory energy that with nice packing? Right? Nice, beautiful packing with ribbons and beautiful color, but what's in the packets is poison, it's suffering inside. Here it is, beautiful gift package. Wow, what's inside? Glitter, glitter, glitter. Beautiful ribbon things, everything. Wanted, wanted, yes, yes, yes. Oh God, it's Pandora's box. In Greek mythology, it was Pandora's box was given as a punishment to mankind, and I won't get into the whole description of it, but basically, in Pandora's box, all the suffering of the material world was kept, and it was a beautiful box. It was such an amazing box and a gift from Zeus himself. You know, whoa, like, you know, a gift from the gods. Oh, we are so lucky. Oh, what would be inside? I wonder. Oh, let's look, open it up. All the suffering came out. So this principle of the beautiful packaging of the material energy is there. It looks good, but this inside is the suffering. When you open up the package, don't open it. Watch out. No, don't do it. The material energy is like that. So when one has knowledge in this way, the Brahmin is thorough knowledge, therefore he will not go for the material temptations. It's not worth it. But one who is less situated in knowledge and more on determination, he may lose his motivation and then be distracted and fall down. That's why the tolerance of the Kshatriya may be stronger in the moment, but in the long run, it will last. Okay, I know this was the dry part of the play, not as exciting as that insect, you know, going into the leg of like Karna, it's like parse around, sniffing a Kshatriya. I mean, that was definitely better. But anyway, we had to do this part also, you know, as part of the play. So that the play gets its real depth also and is complete. So in this way, we can look at our situation. There is determination, you know, based on shallow knowledge. Yes, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, ching, ching, boom, halva. Yes, I like it. Is there more of that? Okay, then I will join. What are you joining? I don't know, but it tastes good. And sort of, I joined, and now the books, I think they're good, you know, they're good. No, really, really. I mean, they're deep and full of wisdom, and wisdom is important. I mean, you want wisdom in life, you know, what you're going to do without it. So, no, Bhagavad Gita, good book, really. Yeah, I'm for it, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But like, oh, readings puts you to sleep every time. No time for it anyway. So busy, so much to do. Reading. When was the last time I looked at a book? Actually, lots of the books that we are printing are not for reading, but are for decoration. I'm sorry to inform the BBT. But, you know, they sit on shelves, right? And they are just collecting dust. And I know it, if you just ask, if you come somewhere and say, can I have this book, you open it up and clouds come up. You know, what to say. Because reading is such a thing. Therefore, we are not deeply anchored in knowledge, and therefore our determination is weak. Strong in the moment, but not strong in the long run. Because only based on knowledge can one be strong in the long run. But even it is said, Balavan Indriyan Gramo Vidvamsam Apikarsati, the senses are so strong that even a man of learning is struggling. Because you know, yes, I know, it says in the Gita, I know, but I feel. See, when the feelings are going in another direction, and then even all the knowledge in the world is still weak. I used to travel on trains in India. I must admit, now that there are so many airlines, I'm never on the train anymore. And I'm missing out. Because what I'm missing is these long conversations with strangers. Because the thing on Indian trains used to be that people would just be very honest and start and just speak to the heart, from the heart to a stranger, just like that, right? Completely. Put their whole heart out there to someone they never met and have whole deep discussions like that. And then you get these things, Swamiji, how can you follow all these things? Right? We know all these things, but how can you follow all these things? That point comes up because how can we follow all these things? How can anybody follow all these things? Yes, one can really follow these things all the time by love, by actually loving Krishna. Now, isn't love of God something really, really high? You know, we look up with binoculars at love of God and still we cannot even perceive it closely. Isn't love of God too high for ordinary mortals? It's nice, Srila Prabhupada, we are worshipping Prema Bhakti Yaita Avijja Vinasayate Vede Gaya Haracharito. The three worlds are speaking about your glories because you are a Prema Bhakta. We are not. We are the ordinary struggle every day, somehow or another, drag your feet and carrying on by hanging on a thread, devotees, right? Hanging on a thin thread, devotees. So how are we ever going to make it? So where love falls short, what to do then? Knowledge, as we just... Well, we said, just determination. No, I'm telling you, I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to do it. I know. I made a mistake, but I'll never make it again. Never. No. From now on, I'm going to do it. I'm really going to do it. Mm-hmm. That's not very impressive. Then comes the next level. I said, no, I've understood. I really understood, you know, because... In the Bhagavatam, it's just, you know, it gives all these examples. I've understood. I'm gonna follow it. Okay, that's better. That's better. But still struggling. We know the feelings are sometimes pulling in another direction. Oh, I feel it so strong. I mean, you know, it it's not me. And it starts to come out, you know. Devotees need to stretch the boundaries a little bit, you know. Gosh, you know, it's like a little bit of karmi music for relaxation. That's all. Satsangha music, of course. Not just, you know, only Satsangha. Yeah. Because it's so relaxing. Classical music and things like that. Some sitar, you know, just... I know it's not transcendental, but it calms me down. I find that when I listen to these bamboo flutes, you know, I don't know, it does something to me. I don't know what it is. It's magic, you know. Bamboo flutes, you tried it out. Bamboo flutes, yes. That's a good thing, I think. Yoga also, I need it, you know, like this, that, and actually, you know, it's like, Patanjali had made some good points, you know. Really thinking about it. I read a book, and then recently I just read this book from some new age healer, and it just helped me so much, you know. It helped me so much more than actually the Bhagavad Gita for all these years haven't helped me as much as that book. That was a breakthrough, that book. That was a real breakthrough. Yes, it was a breakthrough. It was the breaking of the dikes, as we say in the Netherlands, you know, where I'm from. The dikes were breaking because it was getting too narrow, those walls. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, nectar of devotion, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And how can I live in these boundaries for the rest of my life, rest of my whole life? Mind says, let me out. But then, so I was contemplating these things when I walked into a German bookstore, and somewhere on the shelf I found this book about the inner Schweinhund. And it struck a chord with me, I must say. You know, I suddenly realized, my God, I have an inner Schweinhund, right? And now what? And this is what it is. This is the issue. This inner Schweinhund wants to break loose all the time. And it's the inner Schweinhund that wants freedom and that waits for moments when nobody is watching. And then, yes, let's just indulge. Just like you got something unusual to eat, but you don't want to show it to anyone, so it's hidden in your bag, and you're just waiting for that opportunity when no one's watching to pop it in your mouth, right? And you're just waiting, and you keep a very civilized look, you know. Totally sense control, just waiting for the opportunity, and then, you know, finally, okay, they go to the other room and you can't take it any longer and you quickly grab and take a bite. And then they come back. And you try to swallow it, you know, even without chewing, in a way that they don't notice it, right? It's the inner Schweinhund that is wants some space, yes. It's just the inner Schweinhund that pops up. And the inner Schweinhund pops up again and again. Oh my God, it's a battle. So what to do now? Well, I've sketched the whole thing. Determination, knowledge still weak because of the inner Schweinhund. So yes, I mean, love of Krishna is what we need. Love of Krishna is what we need. Now, fortunately, it is said, Isvarata Dadine Su. Bali says it is such a prema maiti kripu pekse yakuru di samajama. Interesting enough, it is said that the majam adhikari has prem. So that brings prem a little closer, because if prem is only for the uttama adhikaris, then we may never get there. But even a majam, it says, has prem. So that's kind of interesting, and that the same word prem is used. Although it may not be the same prem in the same category as the uttam, but it is of the same nature. So that's interesting. So one can actually love Krishna without, you know, rolling on the ground and tears and ecstasy and all that, but just sort of say, you know, Kandarika Giridhari, wow. So happy to be here again and to see you, right? I mean, amazing, stunning, just incredible, right? Going to Vrindavan late at night, going to Vrindavan. quick, if we're quick, we might get the last darshan. Yes, come on, driver, go a little faster. We can make it. Namaste. Run, right? And made it. Wow. What a darshan. Where in the world is there such a darshan? Radhishyam Sundar. Krishna revealed himself in a special way in Vrindavan. Upon the prayer of Srila Prabhupada to attract all the devotees from the entire world. Where are such deities? No. So in this way, yes, that is there. So fortunately the Madhyam Adhikari also can get some prema. But the prema of the Madhyam gives him higher taste, but it's not enough to keep him always safe. It's not enough to keep him always absorbed. Although the Madhyam lives in inspiration, he's going through ups and downs, and he's not always absorbed. The Kanista is just, spiritual life is a struggle, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. Kanista. So, what do we do when we fall short in love? Back to knowledge, back to the safety net of knowledge, but that's so limited. Then there is one other thing in between, and that is mercy. Mercy, see, in between praying where we are fully inspired, the topmost love, and going back to the platform of doing your duty, there is mercy. Because through mercy, we can borrow ecstasy. That is Chayabhav. It is that one borrows ecstasy from the great devotee. By his mercy, suddenly one is above the normal level and there is ecstasy. When there's ecstasy, we can fly. Then we can do anything. Then we dance the whole way. Then, you know, are usually pains that will hamper us. You know, it's okay. They disappear. And there's ecstasy. In this way. So it's mercy that in the whole equation is an important point. And we can see after I sort of sketched the whole picture, with the inner swinehund and the knowledge and all the different levels, we can see that the topmost level is tough to reach. Prema bhakti yaho hoita avijaya vinasayat. Therefore, we are just, the way out is mercy. It's the shortcut. So somehow or other, we're looking for mercy. Mercy is the one thing that can lift us up. Mercy of the Vaishnavas, mercy of the holy places. Endlessly, somehow or other, go for the mercy. I'll end with that. It's a nice end. So, any questions? Yes?
If one uses allegory with the rope, what you said?
Rope, that I said.
Yeah.
The cord, yeah.
In the circus upstairs.
Yes.
It can be said that if one decides to climb upstairs the ladder to the rope, it's like Ganishta. If one go up on the rope with his stick, it's like start of the Madhyam. And the more he focus and go towards the goal, this rope getting broader and broader, and he get more safe and he reach Uttam.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, good analysis.
Good morning. friendship in this world?
Love and friendship.
And
society. Togetherness. You know, all, one for all and all for one. Doesn't exist. In Kavi Karnapur, he is describing friendship in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's pointing out that for friendship, there is a need for certain conditions to be met. First, one has to receive the mercy of the Lord so that he gets in touch with the transcendental knowledge. Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. You have to get in contact with devotees. Otherwise, where there is real friendship? Materialistic friendship is always mixed with some material motive, some personal motive. So real friendship must be based on receiving the mercy of the Lord. When you receive the mercy of the Lord, then you come in the association of devotees. An attachment to the devotees must develop. So from being in that association, gradually you evolve, and then Kavi Karnapur explains the next level that you get is the level of thoughtfulness and discrimination. You begin to kind of reflect about the meaning of life and about and in that way you mature as a person and you become you don't just respond like a just like with outbursts and this and that. No, you respond more thoughtfully and then more in a deeper way, like according to well-being, then you get the non-envious platform. After this thoughtfulness and discrimination became strong in the association of devotees, then you get equanimity, a state of mind which becomes balanced. You become balanced in the mind. At that state, you can realize non-envy, and then you can actually be a friend. Then friendship is possible. The Kavi Karnapur explains it like that. So that's interesting that like he gives conditions before real friendship can develop. And to the degree that these conditions are not met, to the degree we are lacking in friendship. And sometimes even you're married and you wonder, am I married? You know, is this husband or wife, is this person actually my friend? You're married, but even you wonder, are we friends? Are we at least friends? What to speak of love, you know? Are we friends? That's already like, is this person actually thoroughly my friend? Really, through and through, you know, through thick and thin, my well-wisher. Sanskrit definitions, there are different ones. Maitri is a word that is used, which is more general. Another word that is used is surit, close to the heart. So that gives like a higher aspect of this very intimate. So amongst Vaishnavas, it must come that way. But before we can have friendships, we have to go through these stages. We need the mercy of the Lord. We need to develop attachment to serving the devotees and to being with the devotees and in proper etiquette. Then we become thoughtful. Then we get discrimination from these devotees. Like here, it is a sadhuvat, approved by learned circles, approved by saints and sages. So that we understand what is approved by saints and sages, and that it becomes our second nature. Yeah. It's happening, you know, like certain foodstuffs are obviously not approved by saints and sages, and we wouldn't even think of touching them. You know, you don't have to tell ourselves. It just is like, becomes part of a second nature. So this discrimination and thoughtfulness becomes part of our nature when we have absorbed it to that extent. Then non-envy and equanimity, balance, a balanced state of mind. Then you can be a friend all the time. So like that, a friendship takes some time. Okay, and when you deal with someone under the most material nature, today he's your friend and tomorrow not so much, because tomorrow he's the friend of his mind. Tomorrow he's controlled by his senses. Tomorrow he's riding on the back of that inner boar. And then he's maybe not your friend. Of course, you know, like when I had a Vedic marriage, it was done by Bhavananda. And he said, he made us promise. He said, you must always, to me, he said, you must always bring your wife to devotional service to Krishna. And he said to her, he said, but when he deviates, he said, then you become like a lion, like a tiger, and you just somehow or other pull him back. So that was something I remembered. So, friendship also means that with our weaknesses, we're still trying to help each other. That's nice. But Kavikarnapur takes it to a higher level. For friendship to really flourish. Yeah, so to a degree, it is friendship.
I was thinking, it's very nice when our spiritual master or some sadhu come and enliven us a little bit, not in the sense that they are always pumping our slow-leaking tire, but just give us a fresh breeze of transcendental knowledge. I was thinking in the higher levels, because they also have the other, more elevated sadhus and devotees and their spiritual masters. But in the higher realms, do they deal with the same dynamic? Like sometimes they have to go to the knowledge and pull themselves up, or they feel this love of God all the time.
Depends which sadhu. Some sadhus feel the level of love of God, and others are also relying on knowledge.
You can speak from your own perspective.
Why would I? No, I oftentimes put my own life on the table for all to see, but not upon on request. You know, that's like my personal inspiration. If someone asks, say that. It's private. But the principle is there, is that, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have to understand is that all these elements are there in a spiritual life, relying on knowledge, but more so relying on mercy, and then, you know, trying to absorb ourselves in that love for Krishna. The world is so distracting, right? The material energy is very distracting. It's like you're very inspired, and then you get a cold, the cold of the year, you know. You're sick like a dog, you're sniffing, and your head is exploding, and everything, pain here, pain there, pain everywhere. And Now how to maintain your sense of inspiration. So gradually one has to learn through the motes, as the motes are going up and down, even when the motes are down, to stay internally deeply attached to pleasing Krishna. And that we're not just riding on waves of inspiration, on bubbles of champagne. It's so inspiring. It's just amazing. Even when it's not amazing, it's still amazing. Yeah? So there's so many levels to go to. And we see that even Chitraketu in the Bhagavatam was still put, although he's such a great devotee, was still put through further purification. Krishna still puts us through some purification until the very end. And with saying the word end, I think it's a good time to end. Well, thank you very much. No problem.
His Holiness Kadamaka Swami Maharaj Ki.
Jai.